Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope you guys are ready for a great week. It's Thanksgiving week. Definitely a lot of things to be thankful for, especially on my end. Hopefully you guys feel the same way, but I know I'm excited also for something else that happens this week. That's the Iron Bowl. As you guys can see on the title of the stream, again, you can always check out our streams on YouTube for free, if I can get the words out. At the Miller's Edge, just search it. You'll find us, and you can watch me do the show. We'll put on the videos and stuff, whatnot here. Plus, you can always interact with our folks in the chat, leave your comments, questions, all that good stuff right there, and hang out with us if you like. If not, no worries. Make sure you download that Tide 100.9 app. That way you continue listening via radio. It's Tide 100.9. You can listen to all the shows wherever you're at, all across the country, across the world, really. So make sure you always download that app or follow us on YouTube. That way you can keep up to date with all the action. Because there's going to be a lot of action this week, Chase. It's the Iron Bowl week. We all know what this means, the biggest rivalry in college football. Unless you've been living under a rock, man. The Iron Bowl is literally, what if you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan, this is what everybody marks in their calendars. And it's always like a fun week, right? I mean, you got the Iron Bowl, you got Thanksgiving. And then also, I don't know if you guys are like me, but if you're an outdoorsman, you know, rifle season normally kicks off around this time as well. So I used to always, as a player, I definitely loved it because sometimes we'd be able to sneak out. Not really. Not when I say sneak out, I mean like we would do practice early, right? We'd practice early, then that way you'd have like the rest of the day free. Sometimes you kind of get out there and get in the stand if you had the luxury of doing so. Anyway, this is normally a pretty exciting week, but it also can be a tough time for people that may have had some losses and whatnot. So definitely think about those during this time as well. That being said, we got plenty to dive into today on the show. We got to give our thoughts and breakdown on the Eastern Illinois game. Won't be kind of like what we did last week. We're not going to dive too deep, but we will break down some initial thoughts and assessments from the game. Again, 56-0 victory over the Eastern Illinois Panthers. And that also reminds me, we actually had our first winner of the score prediction challenge. And that goes back to even last year. We didn't have anybody win it last year or up to this point this year until this weekend. And that would be Tuck RTR, right, from our YouTube channel. Tuck RTR, he got the score right, 56-0. And his name was like... There we go. Yeah, there we go, Chase. Yeah, give it up for Tuck RTR. I like that. Go ahead and give him a round of applause. But he actually, he was last on the list, which leads me to believe that he actually probably was like the last person to get their score prediction in. So like I promised, we got the sign ball right here. Shout out to Ms. Rondo over at the soup store, helping us get this ASAP. So we got it for him, and we just got to get his, I guess, contact information. So hopefully he'll join the stream either today or sometime this week. That way we can do that. Or you can always call in 205-342-9904 over to the station and leave that information as well. That way we can get this stuff out to you. Plus, I'll make sure I hook you up with some Miller's Edge merch as well. I think I got, I know I have our shirts still in a number of different colors. So maybe we can try to figure that part out. Hopefully I still have some of our hats. But I'll definitely at least have a shirt for you, Tuck. But just make sure we're able to find you and get that information from you. Because I'll be honest, he's not somebody I typically recognize all the time. So he might have been one of the people that just happened to pop in here. Who knows? But shout out to him. He got it right, 56-0. So we'll talk about how that all transpired, how we got 56-0 here in a little bit. We'll do that on the other side. But a number of things we'll also hit. We'll also preview the Iron Bowl a little bit. Early preview, right? We've got plenty of time. Now, Chase, remind me of the schedule this week, because with it being Thanksgiving week, I know things will be a little bit different. What days are we on and what days are we off?
Yes, so we are on Tomorrow, Wednesday, we're off Thursday, but we'll be back on Friday, like usual scheduling.
All right, good deal. So Thursday we will be off. So we still do have plenty of time. So Tuesday, Wednesday, then Friday, we'll be breaking things down. We'll do the score predictions again on Friday and all that good stuff. Plus, I'm planning on trying to get a number of guests on the show throughout the week. Don't have anything planned today, but anticipate talking to Clint tomorrow, top of the hour from Cover Crimson. But I'm also looking to get some other folks on here because it's Iron Bowl week, man. Plenty to talk about and always like getting other perspectives. So we'll anticipate doing that. Some other news real quick while we're hitting this intro segment. Chase, I don't know if you've seen some of the updates. I know we've talked a little bit about it. Doesn't really concern us too much, but the whole Lane Kiffin saga, there's been some, I guess, not really some updates, but I guess some more details, I should say. We're still awaiting the decision, right? It kind of sounds like LeBron when he was making the whole announcement to head to Miami or whatever the case was back then. But there's been some details coming out, Chase, and this is what's wild to me, man. So, and I don't know how legit these details are, but it is coming from On3, so I'd imagine there's definitely probably some truth to them. It appears that LSU is finalizing an offer of roughly $90 million for Lane Kiffin, right? So that would explain the whole rumors about his family going and taking visits, right? In addition, the Tigers would be offering roster cash worth around $25 million annually. Now, this all comes on top of them still owing Brian Kelly, what, like 40-some-odd million dollars, so. And also read that the governor gave his blessing. It's kind of weird kind of how they're wording all this and doing all this. It kind of sounds kind of strange to me. But not going to lie, Chase, I mean, if those numbers are legit, I mean, that's a wild offer. Now, I would imagine that Ole Miss and probably Florida, if they're as serious as they appear to be, plan to probably match these things, right? They probably plan to, you know, have a foot in the race. But I guess we'll have to see. But I don't know. I just saw that and I just thought it was like, man, I mean, if that's the case, he might be as good as gone. Plus, there was a statement put out, and I don't know if you guys had seen it, but it basically was saying that, you know, on Ole Miss behalf, they had some conversations and they'll anticipate, you know, getting through their Egg Bowl, their big rivalry game, and then they'll, you know, I guess come up with an announcement after that. To me, I don't know if that's writing on the wall, Chase, or what, but it kind of is like, I don't know. Part of me feels like if they're doing that, it almost feels like he's out of there. But at the same time, only because I'm like, if he was staying, couldn't they just go ahead and do that unless that's part of the whole negotiation thing? I'm just saying if you plan on staying, I feel like this is becoming a little bit too much of a distraction for your team. I mean, we're talking about a team that's very much in place to, you know, make the college football playoffs, go do a number of things, right? It's probably one of their best regular seasons that they've had in quite some time. I don't know, man. To me, it just seems like too much drama and too much of a saga if he is, in fact, just staying, right? Like, I would almost be annoyed if he does end up staying. Like, why are we doing, like, why couldn't you just say that from the get-go? Do you agree with that, Chase, or what do you think? I mean, with everything that's kind of the new developments, where do you feel like he's at with everything? Do you think he's staying, or do you think there's a good chance he ends up leaving?
Honestly, Christian, it is more confusing as we get closer to this announcement because, you know, he's venturing to other schools. You know, it is kind of like a LeBron James kind of moment. No one really knows. One minute I'm hearing Florida, and then I'm hearing that it's not that anymore. Then I'm hearing it's LSU. It's a big one. Then I'm hearing Ole Miss is coming out with a statement, you know, clarifying all of that. So, you know, I know he's staying in the SEC for sure, but I'm not going to be surprised if he leaves. Christian, for a multitude of reasons. One, I feel like his stay at Ole Miss has kind of come to a close because he's done all he could. I would say they're not winning a national championship. They're going up against other SEC teams that have more resources, have more than what Ole Miss can offer. And that's not Ole Miss's fault. It's just when you're in the SEC, you got to compete to play. And I think with Lane Kiffin, he wants to win. You know, I feel like any number Ole Miss gives at him, it's not going to be enough. Even with his agent being Jimmy Sexton, you know, he can get any offer he wants. You know, the leverage is in his lap, you know, and especially with the numbers you just ran, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if LSU's a front runner. I don't know if Florida will give him that much money, especially they're trying to rebuild with what happened with Billy Napier and that saga. But yeah, I just feel like Lane Kiffin is good as gone. You know, the more he entertains it, the more stuff comes out as we're staying up to date. I just don't see Ole Miss keeping him much longer. And I feel like Ole Miss is being, they feel probably disrespected that it's gotten to this point that it's like, well, if you want to stay, why are you going through all these trips? Why is your ex-wife going to Baton Rouge? Where are these trips? Like, what is going on? So, and especially with their rival, Mississippi State on Friday, they have to win that game to stay in contention. And it's just so much going down in Oxford. I love it because I don't like Ole Miss at all. But, you know, it's just something to see.
No, it is. And listen, Mississippi State, while they're not completely back, right, they've been a pretty decent, scrappy football team this season. And we all know when you're playing these rivalry games, I mean, it doesn't matter what the team has done up to that point. I mean, it's always typically going to be their best game, right, with all the emotions and things that are on the line. Here's a quick statement real quick from the Vice Chancellor for Intercollegiate Athletics. Coach Kiffin and I have had many pointed and positive conversations regarding his future at Ole Miss, including meeting today with Chancellor Boyce. While we discuss next steps, we know we cannot lose sight of what is most important, our sixth-ranked team that is poised to finish the regular season in historic fashion. Despite the outside noise, Coach Kiffin is focused on preparing our team for the Egg Bowl, and together we want to ensure that our players and coaches can concentrate fully on next Friday's game. This team is on the cusp of an unprecedented season, and it's imperative that they feel the support of the Ole Miss family in the week ahead. An announcement on Coach Kiffin's future is expected the Saturday following the game. So, I don't know. To me, I'm kind of with Phil in here in our YouTube chat. He says, if he was staying, AD would have just said it, why wait? I kind of feel like that too. To me, that statement didn't really help much. It kind of felt like that was almost like the writing's on the wall now, but I don't know. We'll have to see. I feel like it might be leaning towards LSU at this point, but who knows, man? Who knows? It makes for good radio drama, sports world, college football drama, I guess. But I will say this, and I saw somebody make this comment. I can't remember who it was, but it's so true. And I'm not going to say guilty of it, because I still do feel like, I mean, like, look, there's not as much loyalty in the game as there was. You know, NIL, we harp on all the players that leave, and we talk about, man, we wish we'd have, you know, the days of the guys just staying and being loyal. But I hate to say this, but coaches are doing this mid-season, right? Like, coaches are literally, quote-unquote, flirting with other jobs, like the head coach. We got to stop, I guess, holding against these players nearly as much. Like, you know, I still hear the fans mad at Caleb Downs, right, who made a decision to leave after head coach Nick Saban retired. Like, people salty about that. You got to get rid of those feelings. I've never had feelings of ill will towards any players that decide to leave. My thing is, like, if you decide to leave, that's on you. Just understand what comes with it, whether that's good or bad, right? And a lot of the times it doesn't work out the way a lot of guys think it does. You get a nice payday up front. To me, it's like you're making like that. You're not thinking about the long-term investment. It's just a short-term instant gratification thing. And then you realize at the end of the day, you're like, man, I would have been better put for the long-term. Yeah, I got this nice payday, but, you know, long-term it didn't work out as well as it would have if I just stayed. That's neither here nor there. What I'm getting at is I think people have to stop, I guess, chastising the players at this point, because they at least have a window to do it. They can't just really do it during the year. Look at these coaches right now, Chase. I mean, to me, I'm like, how are we harping on these players about staying loyal when we've got head coaches? And I'm not mad at the coaches. I understand, like, anybody that has been in a position to get a better opportunity, you know what I mean? Like, you can't blame them, right? Whether it's better pay, a better job. I mean, hell, everybody does in the workforce. If you have an opportunity to get a raise or a better job, move up the ranks, I mean, it makes sense. But I just feel like it's a little hypocrisy at this point. We're going to talk about the players not being loyal. We should have been holding these coaches accountable too, because to me, that's not fair to the guys. Those guys are going out there and busting their ass, and they're trying to accomplish everything that they set out for, and it's still in front of them over at Ole Miss. They're too busy dealing with the theatrics of all this going on. I just don't think it's fair to those guys, but I don't know. And I know how it feels. I mean, because hell, he was my offensive coordinator before the 2016 National Championship game, then quote-unquote Coach Saban, I guess, showed him the door, right? But he was, you know, doing the same thing. And I'm like, I understand there's windows for them getting hired and they want to recruit at their next job and all that. But I'm like, it's not fair to us, man. You know what I mean? And shout out to Sark. He did a good job. But I also feel like we probably would have been in a better position with the offensive coordinator that we had the entire year up to that point. The fact that we played as well as we did with the coordinator just came probably from, I'm not making a joke, but I'm like, I mean, he was kind of going through the whole rehab stuff at the time, and he just stepped in and did a good job. Shout out to him. That being said, we went way over. Let's go ahead and hit our first timeout. When we come back, We'll probably leave this conversation to we'll pause on this for a second because we got to break down the Eastern Illinois game more so about us, right? What we saw from us and what we didn't see. And I've got plenty to say, and I'm sure you guys too also do. So I want to hear from you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number, or you can always leave those questions here in our YouTube comment section or Facebook section as well, or on the Tide 100.9 app. You can even at message. We're going to discuss it, and further down the road, we're going to discuss the Iron Bowl. We'll talk about that early preview. Plus, we'll hear from the coaches as they have their Monday morning press conferences coming up. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Don't walk. Just hold on tight to that coffee. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Coupons and Kohl's cash do not apply to Sephora. Offers end November 29th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
of the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Man, it feels good to be back doing a Victory Monday, right? We didn't have that luxury the week prior, but here we are, Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. 56-0 over the Eastern Illinois Panthers, man. Shout out to those guys. They showed up to Tuscaloosa, man. They gave it what they had, which wasn't much, but they tried. And they got the experience playing in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Shout out to the linebacker from Tuscaloosa. I think that was probably the coolest story, him being able to come back here. I think they showed a feature on him growing up as an Alabama fan. So that's always cool and all that. That's great. But let's just be honest, Chase, let's just say it, man. It felt like a screw. You can go find a bunch of guys that are fast, that are good athletes. It's always the guys in the trenches, man. And if you just looked at their offense and defensive line, I mean, it just, there was no point in really being out there. You know what I mean? That said, these are some of my takeaways from the game, Chase. And I don't want to, it's like I'm nitpicking, but you kind of only have the choice to nitpick when we're playing a team like this. But this is what I'll say. Well, let me start with the positive because I don't want people thinking I'm negative Nancy over here, right? Here's a positive for me. Defense was exceptional. And that was playing, you know, probably every guy on the roster, not even just scholarship guys, but even the walk-ons. I mean, we got to the point where, I mean, with all due respect, I had no clue who was on the field at one point. I've never, like, you know, Chase, you know the generic players on Madden? On the sidelines that just look like bass players. They have no, listen, no, I'm not making fun of them. I'm saying like they didn't have any swag on, like they had like the big jerseys, had probably no anticipation of getting on the field. That's how bad of a beatdown this was. It looked like the generic guys from like the Madden in the NCAA games, man. And I'm just saying that's a testament. I mean, we played so many guys. And I just want to start with the defense. They were exceptional, man. I mean, like literally, I think it was 34 total yards, right? 34 total yards. I mean, literally, there's like stats on the screen during the game just saying like, you know, it's fewest since, I think it was like back, you know, when we just wrapped up like World War II or something. And I don't even think football was played with probably seven people and no helmets. Like that, it was that type of game. But guys were flying around. I love the effort and intensity from the defense. I mean, from the jump, I mean, guys were just, look, they were going to play to their standard. And I was glad to see that. Tim Keenan, shout out to the senior. And speaking of seniors, man, you know, round of applause for those guys. Literally their last time in Bryant-Denny Stadium. I know people are saying, well, maybe the home playoff game. I don't think we're getting one, but we'll see. But still, I know that experience, right? I mean, it's bittersweet. I mean, like, you just think back to all those memories and all the times that you've had with these guys and all the bonds that you've created. And shout out to the senior class on senior day. And that was awesome. See, shout out to Tim Keenan. He got himself two sacks, disruptive early on. I mean, those guys, they couldn't handle big Tim Keenan, man. He was just running through the line of scrimmage, man. He looked like Aaron Donald out there. But it was cool to see so many players get opportunities, right? I mean, QB Reese was in there early on. He looked good. We saw a number of guys from the front end to the back end. I mean, Ivan Taylor in there early. Which leads me to say this, Chase. It was kind of interesting, man. I was thinking we were going to take the approach like play our ones, you know what I mean? Go out there and do our thing and then, you know, start rotating. But at least from the defensive side of thing, and I think it was like this on the offensive side too, they played a lot of young guys early. And to me, it was kind of interesting. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm nitpicking too much, but I think what I was looking, I don't know if I necessarily saw exactly what I was looking for overall, and here's why. What I was thinking we probably should have done was, all right, we just came off the Oklahoma loss. We know we have some things we need to work on, whether it's the running game, getting our timing back, you know, connecting with some, you know, deep shots, explosive plays, building that confidence up, that type of deal. I was thinking we were going to come out with our starters, you know, at least for the first quarter and a half, two quarters, and really try to harp on, you know, flawless execution, domination, playing with that ticked off mindset coming off of a loss. But I'll be honest with you, and I don't know if it was just me. I know we were talking about this a little bit, but it just felt like, sorry, as my dogs would probably agree with me, they also felt like this. It felt like people went out there almost with the mindset that, hey, we're playing Eastern Illinois. Like, at least from a more of an offensive perspective. Defensively, I don't think I felt it as much. Those guys were flying around and playing with high intensity and high effort and all that stuff. But it felt like offensively, we just kind of showed up like, all right, we're playing Eastern Illinois. We're kind of going through the motions a little bit. Now, I'm not saying like they didn't play hard either, but I just was hoping, I guess, to see a little bit more. And maybe that's just me being too nitpicky. I promise I'm not trying to, because again, I'm never going to complain about a 56-0. We did what we needed to do. We still won the game in dominant fashion. I understand that. But it felt like, and I guess I just jumped completely from the defense. I'll go back to them in a second. But it just felt like offensively, like we still were, you know, Ty was a little off with some of the throws, right? There's a couple of times. I mean, I know he had the two interceptions. I'm not going to overreact. The second one, we all know. They're just trying to, you know, force one in the end zone before the half, which, like, even something like that, I was kind of confused. Like, I know I'm saying I wanted us to attack and have that mindset, but I'm like, it's kind of interesting. I'm like, why are we playing Eastern Illinois? I mean, like, I don't know why we're really doing that, but it is what it is. But some of his throws just seemed a little off, right? And I know the running game was excellent if you go by the numbers for sure. I mean, 260 yards, 69 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns, I believe, all on the ground. We had no passing touchdowns. So I get it. They went out there and they really tried to emphasize that, which was great. But there's just a couple times, I don't know, I just was kind of watching earlier on in the game. These were the ones, and it just didn't really feel like we went out there with the mindset, hey, we're going to play to our standard. Now, when the twos got in there, I'm not going to lie, I feel like we saw that energy, which makes sense. I mean, those guys are hungry for those opportunities, but it felt like maybe the starters were kind of just, you know, just showing up as Eastern Illinois. But it almost felt like even like the staff, maybe, like, I don't know. I mean, Grubb was on the sideline, which is different, maybe to be able to communicate with all the young guys getting in there. I don't know. I mean, Chase, did you kind of feel like the energy like that? Like, it almost felt, I know people are joking around, like, you know, Dwight said 8-8 in November. Like, did it kind of feel like the tempo was, like, relaxed a little bit, almost kind of like a scrimmage?
Without a doubt. I just felt like it was more, Alabama just trying to get through the day. You know, they were just trying to survive as much as they could without any injuries, any nick-ups, anything that could cause any concerns for Auburn, which I get the safe approach because you just don't want to be in that mindset of like, oh, well, now XYZ player is injured and now we got to adjust when we could have just played the twos and the threes out the gate. And I'm not mad because they got the win. You know, I am a little disappointed because, like you said, the point of emphasis or really like that fire you see usually on Saturdays just wasn't there. But it was more of like a relaxation day, kind of enjoying the sun a little bit. We're on the sand, and it's just like once the day's over, now we really get in the trenches for Auburn. And like you said, it's Eastern Illinois. There's no disrespect to that program and what they've got going on. They signed up for the task, and they played, right? But obviously Alabama just wanted to get the job done, in my opinion, and just – really focused towards this week of practices, and you'll hear more about that in the press conference coming up. But yeah, I don't know. And it was that's a great comment. It did feel like a day in November, you know, kind of seeing the and the motion plays, you know, this player comes on, this player comes off, you know, roll tide roll and stuff like that. But I don't know. It just, I've never seen that from Bama football because I'm so used to being competitive, even against lesser teams like Mercer or, you know, a random school in a D2. It's just like, they don't want to be disrespected. You know, you come to Tuscaloosa, we're going to kick your you-know-what, and that's it. But it was just like, okay, you know, we'll kind of lessen up a little bit, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, and, okay, so I'm glad I'm not the only one. And like I said, I don't want people thinking I'm being negative Nancy or I'm trying to just, you know, find all the things. But I'm with you, especially coming off the loss to Oklahoma. Like, I guess maybe that's why it stood out to me a little bit more. I'm sure a lot of people probably just watched it and said, oh, Alabama did what they need to do. What are you talking about? But that's exactly, I guess, the way I would put it. It was almost like, hey, we know this Eastern Illinois. We're going to just kind of get through this game, try to get out healthy, then roll into Auburn, you know, really start putting our emphasis there, which I understand to an extent, especially when you're already dealing with a number of injuries. Quavis ended up being out. Jeremy Bernard didn't play. Parker Brailsford. I mean, three of your main components on offense out of this football game. So I understand you don't want to risk anything else. And maybe that was kind of the mindset. But still, and it may be, again, I can't help it, guys. I mean, I come from Coach Saban. I know you're like, oh, stop talking about him. But no, you got to hear me out. Like, I'm just conditioned a certain way. Like, it didn't matter who it was. It didn't matter. We played a JV football team with 15-year-olds, man. Like, he would tell us, go kick their ass. And then we'll, you know, apologize afterwards and probably make sure we don't get, you know, arrested for abuse, right? But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's that we always were conditioned. Like, didn't matter who it was. And it just, I don't know, man. I was hoping we would, at least for like the first quarter, like, go really put it on them and play with that fire and then turn it down. Just because to me, like, I want to go into this Auburn week, this Iron Bowl week, feeling a little bit more confident with, you know, where we're at as a football team, right? Because, I mean, if you think about it, we went out there, again, defensively, I'm more so focused on the offense. Defensively, there's not really much. So defense, holding the 34 yards, they played with that edge, that fire from the get-go, at least from my perspective. But offensively, it's like we already were kind of going through a little bit of a slump. I didn't really walk away from this game feeling a whole hell of a lot better about where we're at offensively. And I think that's why I'm kind of like, I feel like we could have probably gone out there with a little bit more. Like you know, here's an example. Like, we throw another, like, the crispy package, we throw a screen again to Caden Proctor. Like, I get his senior day. But that's why, to me, it was like, bro, are we playing around right now? Like you get what I'm saying? Like, a decision like that, I'm like, that's not like, I don't know. Ricky said I was looking for a Notre Dame performance. I mean, kind of, right? Because, again, like, I think our offense needs our rhythm back. We need our confidence back. And I feel like, I don't know if we fully took advantage of the opportunity. I guess that's the best way to put it. Again, I don't want to sound like I'm being too nitpicky or whatever. I'll tell you all the positives. Again, 269 rushing yards. I love that we made an emphasis of running the football, right? A number of guys got carries and opportunities. We got to see A.K. Deere. He looked good when he got his number. He got 9 carries in this game, had 45 yards, ended up having 2 touchdowns, late one, which gave us that 56, which got Tuck, his score prediction correct. Kevin Riley, and I was going to say this too while I'm talking about it, Chase. I was kind of thinking this. I mentioned it briefly the other day or other week, I think. Kind of made me wonder. We talk so much about needing backs, you know, to hit holes and stuff. You ask me, Kevin Riley to be the smallest guy in the room, he's always done a good job of that. Like, if you go back to, like, Florida State, that was one thing that stood out to me. I'm like, damn, to be 190 pounds, I mean, this guy's not afraid to go hit the hole. Now, sometimes I think he could use his vision a little bit better because sometimes it literally was just like, this dude is going full speed downhill. But I'll take that over dancing around. And it kind of made me think, I'm like, I know Daniel Hill finally was healthy and they've been excited about him. I know he's doing a good job too, but I'm like, I'm just surprised we kind of just went away from Kevin Riley the way we did. You know, like, I feel like he didn't really do anything in my eyes to really, other than the other guys being more healthy. But I'm like, I feel like we should have been kind of keeping him in that rotation because he's always been a, you know, a good little piece in there. I mean, if he's not the main guy, fine. But he always, I felt like, should have been able to contribute because he does a nice job when he gets in there. But he looked good. It was nice to see him again. I know everybody's talking about Ty was 11-16, 147 yards, two interceptions, no touchdowns. And like I mentioned with him, you know, not bad by any means, but to be playing like Eastern Illinois, I mean, probably would want a little bit cleaner of a game. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it was more of a mentality thing or what. The first pick, and I want to give Eastern Illinois credit. I mean, they're playing with basically like a deep robber. Like, that's basically what it was. You got a hole player, but they're playing him deep. And I think this comes from teams starting to watch what we do. They know we like to attack the middle of the field. All right, let's take our hole player and let's make him play way deeper, right? So he was in that window. And I think Titus thought he could get it over the defender, but obviously that didn't happen. The guy made a nice athletic play and high-pointed the football and came up with an interception. But I'm hoping Ty is able to get back in that rhythm because this week, I mean, he's going to need it more than ever. We're going on the road in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and we know what comes with that. I mean, it's going to be a hostile environment. Everything's going to be thrown at you. Auburn's got a good defense, really good front. They're going to make it uncomfortable for you. DJ Durkin is the one that's taking over responsibilities as their head coach, a defensive guy. Guy I know very well. He recruited me out of high school. He's a really good defensive coach. Almost ended up here in Tuscaloosa. Nick Saban almost hired him. But that said, I mean, we got a challenge on our hands. And, you know, that's one of my points. Again, it's not to be nitpicky, but I just feel like it would have been really good for Ty to walk out of this game with a little bit more of a boost of confidence, which, I mean, it might not really make a big difference. I mean, he probably had a great week of practice and, you know, we're probably just looking too deep into it. But to me, I'm like, I was hoping this game would have been like a certified tune-up game, go impose our will, walk in. That way we're walking to the Auburn week with that swagger again. I wouldn't say we necessarily walked out of this one offensively with that swagger. This kind of felt like you said, Chase, we kind of just were trying to get in and out and be healthy, which if that's the approach they took, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I guess it's all about perspectives, right? They're the coaches. But to me, probably would have liked to see a little bit more on the intensity side. That being said, I don't want to talk too much about it. See what else. You got to see guys like Mbakwe. He got in some action. I know a lot of people have been wondering where he's at. Again, he's got so many other players. You know, he's a little buried on the depth chart, but it was great to see all those young guys get in there, man. I mean, Keon Keeley still stepping up, had himself a blocked punt, which was dope. But that leads me to the big one, the special teams, Chase. Just got to talk about this real quick, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, this is probably the biggest thing. I'm probably wasting so much time talking about everything else that really didn't matter. Just real quick, we got to talk about it. But let's do this. First, we're going to take a timeout because I need to stay on schedule. I know we went over the other one, so I'll let you combine those. When we come back, we'll discuss the special teams, right? Because we know that's a little bit of an issue right now. Coach DeBoer talked about it. We'll probably either hear that clip or we'll at least discuss it after this timeout right here on the Miller's Edge.
Want tools for all your upcoming projects. Get Black Friday savings happening now at the Home Depot. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in-store and online.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
IQBAR products plus free shipping when you text IQBAR to 64000. Text IQBAR to 64000 to get your 20% off. That's IQBAR to 64000.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back weekend. It is Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so before we hit that last timeout, I mentioned the special teams, right? Well, there's a couple things I missed. All right, we saw both the backup quarterbacks. Both of those guys looked great, in my opinion. I think Austin Mack probably looked the best out of all three quarterbacks. He was 5 of 5, 45 yards, had that rushing touchdown. Keelan Russell, 7 of 9 for 78 yards. Again, those guys looked really smooth when they got their opportunities. They both throw a nice ball, have some good zip on there. And, look, they're really good players, and it's going to be interesting to see how everything develops postseason. Glad you guys reminded me. The new rule with only one window is now officially in effect, so there isn't that spring window. I was thinking, you know, those guys would compete for during the spring, and then depending on how it went, you probably would at least see one of them probably leaning towards Mac, maybe transfer out. But now there's only one window. So it's going to be interesting, man. And it's kind of unfortunate because, I mean, you want to hold on to as many guys as possible, especially when they're talented like that. I mean, there's a reason these coaches keep saying they truly believe they have three NFL quarterbacks in that room. And I wouldn't be shocked if that is the case, right? I mean, Ty and Keelan with his potential, then the more I see Mac develop and get better and better, I'm starting to definitely buy into that. If I'm being completely honest with you, Mac, back in the spring when I was watching him, he was like this. They're up and down. He'd have a day where he looks great, then he'd go into the scrimmage, and his accuracy was off, kind of all over the place. But after seeing him in this game against Eastern Illinois, and I know it's Eastern Illinois, but still just from the operations standpoint, everything, he looks to be developing really nicely. That being said, they played well, and I forgot to mention that early on. Special teams, though, we got to talk about it. I put out a tweet, which I need to stop tweeting. I feel like I'm turning to my dad. So I put out a tweet, and it was after the Connor Tall team miss, right? And here's the thing. I want to be clear. I don't have a problem with – you guys know me. I always advocate for players, like, when it comes to mistakes or messing up. Like, that's a part of the game. Nobody's perfect. I'm always going to advocate, right? These guys, they're going to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But what I don't like is when it seems like there's – an issue with whether it's like attitude or mentality of things, right? Like those things I feel like can affect the football team. And listen, this is where it came from. Now we know what happened last week against Oklahoma when Talty had missed. He gave him a snap and ass chewing like on TV, and that bothered a lot of people, including myself. That's just not how you go about it, especially when it's like, yeah, sure, like that operation does have an effect on things, but they, in my opinion, got it back. Right, just in time for you to hopefully make a kick. And still, with that being said, I just don't ever think you should, you know, have a showing like that. You know what I mean? When everybody's on live television. I know you had the whole AJ McCarron and, you know, Barrett thing. But to me, I'm like, that's a little bit different. That's like a competitive exchange. Two guys fired up. Like, it's this is like, all right, man. Like, you're like blaming. Like, oh, you did this. Like, do your, like, I don't like that. You know, to me, that's a little bit different of a situation. That being said, I put out that tweet just because I just felt like, I don't know, what he did after the kick. And maybe I'm reading too much into it. And I'm going to put the clip on here so you guys can see it. And again, I'll say this. I mean, nobody should boo players like that. Everybody has their own right. I'm not saying what you can or can't do. Y'all pay money. You do what you want. I never condone that, right? Like, that's to me, look, we're all on the same team here. You know, people choose to do that. And I think it was coming from mostly the student section. It is what it is. But I'm not advocating for people booing guys or jumping on guys. When I tweeted, this is what I tweeted, by the way. No one for Talty to blame on that miss, but then the gestures encouraging the boo, someone has to address it. His attitude is terrible, not what this team needs. Now, obviously, we've heard guys come out in defense of him saying, like, it's lame for booing him. And I agree, right? Like, again, that tweet is because I'm being critical of the gestures that I saw. Doesn't mean I'm advocating for people booing him or disrespecting him like that. But this is, I'm putting this on the screen now. This is what I saw him do after the kick. And I just want to see what y'all think about this. So he misses the kick, right? Got his head down a little bit. But you immediately see him kind of doing like the bring it on gesture, right? What is called a gesture, right? You see him do it again as the boos come in. I don't have it playing, but here, let me turn the sound on. You can hear the boos. They're pretty loud. Hold on 1 second. And
28 out and the boos ring out at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
See, so if you guys can see that right there, he kind of does like the gesture. And so when I saw that, to me, and maybe I read it wrong, maybe he was leaning into like, you know what, yeah, I messed up, you know, I deserve it. If he was doing like that, then I don't think his attitude wasn't as bad as I perceived it. But I think what happened was I was thinking back on how he acted after he missed the kick against Oklahoma, chewing his teammate out. Then he misses this one, and I see him, like, doing, like, the, yeah, bring on the booze thing. And to me, I'm like, regardless of really what he was doing with the whole that deal, my thing is this. Bro, you're wasting your energy engaging in that, man. Like, if I could give him any advice, kicking, one of the biggest pieces of kicking is confidence, right? You need to work on getting your confidence back right now. You don't need to be engaging with the boos. I understand it's probably uncomfortable, and I've never been booed like that, so I wouldn't necessarily know. But still, man, like, don't waste your energy and time on that part. You just need to focus on locking in and getting back in your rhythm. And listen, I'm a little hard on this stuff too. Again, I hate to keep bringing it up, but with Coach Saban, like, listen, whenever we had issues with our kickers, he didn't care about anything else. He literally would tell them, do your blank job. He would literally cuss them out. Do your blank job. You have one job. That was his same line. Anytime kickers were missing kicks, he didn't care about wind. He didn't care about crowd, people. But he, like, do your job. You have one job. He said it all the time. And I'm not trying to be that harsh with him, but I'm like, I just don't want to see the gestures or the yelling. I'm like, dude, just get on the sideline, reassess, do whatever you got to do. That being said, I do feel kind of bad because I'm like, man, I know a lot of people are, you know, responding to tweets and jumping on them. I'm never, ever trying to advocate or encourage people jumping on guys. You know what I mean? Like, because no one feels, and I've said this before, but I'll repeat it. No one feels worse than these players, right? Him, the coaches. I mean, they're the ones that spend countless hours doing this on a day-to-day basis. So I understand that. And I do feel for him, right? Because he's a young guy, right? But I do want to encourage him. Don't lean into that. Enough of everything else. All you need to focus on is what do you need to do, you and your unit, everybody on special teams, to have success. Because whether you guys like it or not, we're going to need this guy. Whether it's this week in the playoffs, SEC championship game, we need this guy. So my suggestion is everybody, let's try to encourage a guy, right? I don't ever encourage booing at all, but especially right now, let's hope he can bring the best back out of himself, right? I mean, he was recruited for a reason. Coach Saban recruited him, right? He wasn't a portal guy. He was recruited here while Coach Saban was a coach. So, I mean, obviously the guy showed something back then. He's got something to him. He just has to get his confidence back up. And booing's not going to be the answer. But him also kind of encouraging, in my opinion, is not ideal either. So just wanted to throw that out there. But I'm curious y'all's thoughts. Again, you guys saw the clip, and I'll play it again just so you guys can see it. Maybe I read into it too deep. And if I did, hey, Talty, I apologize, man. Maybe your attitude is not as bad as I thought. Maybe you genuinely just felt bad about it and said, you know what, I deserve it. But to me, it was kind of like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And again, it probably was because of what I saw last week with him yelling at the long snapper. You know, and I think a lot of people were frustrated about that too. I think that's more so why they were frustrated. It wasn't so much he missed the kick. Part of it was. But it also was probably people are a little frustrated with that whole display last week. And I think that's kind of why I preconceived it. As soon as I saw him do the gestures, I immediately said, oh, he's almost taunting them back. But then as I had time to think about it, I'm like, maybe he wasn't. And maybe I just was assuming that or just leaning more in that direction since he acted the way he did last week. But I don't know. That was just my thoughts. But again, Connor Talty, if you're listening, I know you're not. You're in class or you just got done with practice. Or no, not on Monday. They don't practice on Monday. Hey, man. We support you. We're rooting for you. We're going to need you, man. Let's lock in. We got plenty to accomplish. Let's go do the damn thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's done and over with. I know it sucks that you got booed in Bryant Denny Stadium, but I think they cheered when he made the field goal. So it is what it is, man. This is part of sports, unfortunately. Ugly part of it, but it is what it is. All right, we got to hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we got some phone calls to get to. Want to get y'all's thoughts. Plus, we got to dive into a little bit of an early preview on the Iron Bowl. We'll do that in hour number two. Plus, we'll hear from the head coach during his weekly press conference right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WQC. Hey, it's Christian Miller, host of the
A Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Monsi Bolaños.
The Houston Texans came ready to play for Thursday Night Football as they defeated the Buffalo Bills 23-19. Josh Allen was 25 of 35 for 262 yards and two interceptions. He was also sacked a career high 8 times.
Yeah, it's not fun. I ran into a couple myself. I got to be better with throwing the ball away and living to see another down and letting us play some situational football and pinning them deep. And too many times I was going backwards, and I got to be better on that.
Houston improves to 6-5. In the NBA, Tyrese Maxey dropped 54 points to go along with 9 assists as the 76ers topped the Bucks 123-114 in overtime. Sacramento has lost 8 in a row after losing to the Grizzlies 137-96, and the Magic outscored the Clippers 129-101. In the NHL, the Avalanche have won 7 in a row after topping the Rangers 6-3.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Shop Tom, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, 56-0. Senior Day win over Eastern Illinois. We've talked plenty about it. Way more than I thought we were going to do, Chase. I thought we were just going to breeze through it, but knowing me, man, I guess there's just a number of things to hit on. I mean, there's actually more to unpack from this game than I guess I really anticipated. But we already hit all the notes, man. I think we sent that message to the committee. They said, well, they're not sure about our running game. And even though we rushed for 270 yards, 269 yards, I don't know if it moved the needle enough for them because it was Eastern Illinois. We talked about how bad they were, but hey, it's kind of cool to see that stat. A whole damn bunch of yards, man, and 8 touchdowns on the ground. So maybe we did prove a point with them. Who knows? 205-342-9904 is the number. Let's get to the phone lines. We've got to go a little quicker, though, than usual probably because we're trying to get these interviews. We got Tommy up first. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Tristan, how are you today?
Good, Tommy. How are you?
Can't complain.
Nice.
The Saturday game was supposed to be a cupcake game, and it was. I know as a player you hate that terminology, but you know that's what the expert on TV talked about. And they're going to keep it pretty vanilla. I mean, they did something. I think Nick Goldsworth to get the offensive line right, and they can get confident running the ball, and that was accomplished. And I mean, I was real happy with the second string and third string. They had intensity on both sides of the ball. The matchup quarterback looked good. I mean, even the guys only got to play a few plays this year for the final game. I mean, they didn't give it 150% of all they had to be out there. So I was proud of that. I'm going to address the issue about my kicker. Alabama fans do not move their players. You showed class. We were taught that by Coach Bryant and Coach Stallings. Don't move our players. And when he made the 8-point field goal, to me, that was a sarcastic cheer by the student section. I'm very disappointed in the attitude. He's on our team. We can't get a new kicker. He's with us this year. And from how long he wants to stay. So get behind them and rest the team and support them. They are a team. This is a team that won 9 games. I have a chance to get the SEC championship and the playoff. Get behind them. I mean, that's the most important game. I just don't boom players. I'm a top dot team. And Coach Trott needs to fuss at us. I will show them a Sunday. Other people may not be moving that. No, we got class. You need to show class, student section. I mean, I was
absolutely. I mean, especially in college, I know guys get paid nowadays, but it's still, man, they're still young guys, college students. That's why I said, I mean, I never condone Boone. That's why I was like, man, when I tweeted that, it was more so, again, when I initially saw his reaction, I was just thinking, like, man, it seems like he still has a bad attitude, like building off of last week. Then when I saw the response, I was like, man, I hope I didn't, like, encourage people to jump on him. That's why I felt bad. But I'm with you, man. Never should do that. But look, you know, people are going to do what they want to do. Can't control everybody, but you can control your response. That's why I would just encourage him not to get down on himself, man. Just lock in and literally just do everything that you need to do to make yourself better. Because we're going to need him, man. We're going to need him. I mean, look, there's a reason he's a starter, right? If there was somebody that they felt was better, they would be playing. But unfortunately, we don't have anybody else right now. So he's got to roll what you got and hope for the best, man. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if we find ourselves, you know, going forward a little bit more, at least when it's a little bit longer situations.
Yeah, I mean, but I just hate that the player get down. Kickers have strength. Just like the quarterback does. But, man, he fell 16 straight completion. Well, don't say that. Your next one, he can throw incomplete or interception. Like, he has thrown 150 attempts while interception. Don't remind them of that. Let them play the game. Get in the flow of the game. So, I mean, that's just me. I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah, no, that's what I said. I mean, look, we're all on the same team here. I know people got frustrated with them, but we're going to need him, man. So we got to encourage and uplift him, and hopefully he can get some confidence and get some rhythm going into to the Iron Bowl and hopefully in an SEC championship game after that. But we all know we got to, if we want to, you know, accomplish everything ahead of us, we've got to win this game. So we need everybody on their best. And then not just him, but that starts with everybody. I mean, look, we'll talk about this here a little bit more, but we got some guys banged up, something to monitor. I mean, your starting center, need to see where he's at. Josh Cuevas and Jeremy Bernard both banged up, didn't play in this game. Two of Ty's most reliable options, man. I know we're talking about the kicker and special teams, which is important, but that's something else we can't lose sight of or can't forget to track that, because that's going to be huge, man. And I expect those guys to be able to go, but hopefully they're about as healthy as possible, because we're going to need not only just them to go, but to be their best selves as well, knowing that Auburn, one of the better things that they do is play defense. Not to mention, man, that freshman that they had, he looked pretty damn good. I know it was Mercer, but Deuce Knight, man, he looked like a good player. And now you're going into this game saying, hey, we got to prep for, you know, three different quarterbacks that we could potentially see in this matchup.
Well, this is, I've said it for 3 or 4 weeks. I know people are getting tired of it. Every game is a playoff game. Alabama can't have no mistake this week. If they want to get an SEC championship game, if they beat Auburn, they can mess up in the SEC championship game. I mean, I do not trust that freaking committee as far as I can throw you. And you know me, that's not going to be very far, Christian.
You definitely don't really want to put it in their hands, knowing how they've already, I guess, come out and stated how they view us right now, right? So you're right. And I've got some updated outlooks on all those scenarios and things like that in terms of the SEC championship, and then even after that. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Tommy, we're going to try to run through another call before this segment ends, but I appreciate you hopping on, and always good to hear from you, brother. Yes, sir. Roll Tide, Tommy. All right, let's keep it rolling. Up next, we got Jared from Houston. Jared, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Christian?
Jared, what's up, man? How are you?
Man, doing good. I kind of want to echo some of Tommy's comments. You know, look, this kid's my kicker, man. He's our kicker. He's part of our team. Like you said, they're in the same building. And I really appreciate the fact that you're trying to spread some love to the guy and let everybody know we have to support him. You know, there's a lot of fans out there that get on social media and they make fools of themselves with some of the comments they make. And these people that are doing it have never kicked a day in their life. You know, if you've ever kicked at the D1 or higher level, you know darn good and well that you're kicking an oblong shaped football trying to get it to go straight, which is tough to do. You know, a round ball is going to go straight for the most part, but an oblong ball could go either way. And, you know, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. And to make a comment on him kind of getting on the long snapper's tail, I didn't really have an issue with it. You know, when I remember very clearly, and you'll remember this too, Christian, there were several occasions, and I'm talking about more than you count on both hands, where Alabama players were having shouting matches on the sidelines during games, pushing and shoving, almost getting to the point where it was fights under Saban. And nobody had a problem with that.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody had a problem with that. You know what I'm talking about because you were on a couple of those teams where that happened.
No, and absolutely. Yeah, we just were talking about it on the break. Yeah, the only thing I'll say is a little bit different is to me, I didn't like that it was like he was throwing him under the bus, right? This is what I was separating because I had no problem with what we used to do. I just was talking about it. We had a comment here on our stream, and I said, I mean, that was us holding each other accountable. And I get you could view it like, yeah, he was holding the long snapper accountable, but to me, there's a little bit. It's a little bit different, right? Like, you not only did the snap could have been better, but I'm like, you also missed the kick. When we used to get into it, it'd be like,
last
three
snaps could have been better. The last two kicks he had missed were partially because of high snaps. He missed the kicks. I'm not blaming it all on the snapper, but kicking is about rhythm. And when you see the center move, you're kind of getting your motion going towards the ball. And when that snaps high and he's got to almost stand up the second one to get it down, you know, it throws your timing off. And people can complain about the kicker all they want, but he's my kicker. He kicks for my team, and I'm going to support the guy. And I don't want to hear anybody jumping back on his bandwagon when he makes a kick to help us win a freaking football game coming up soon. Because it's going to happen. Mm. There's going to be an opportunity for him to win the game. And when it does, just be careful what you say, because I'm not listening to that junk anymore. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm not for jumping on any of our guys like that. I mean, I'll break some.
No,
down
I know that. Like I said, when I first got on the phone, I appreciate you showing the guy some love and supporting him because that's what the guy needs. He's on our football team, man. He's on our team. I was kind of proud of Coach DeBoer standing up for him too. You know, I wish our fans had his back like the guys in the locker room do. You know. You know, let's just move on from it. Yeah, no one wants to see that anybody jump on anybody, but it happened and it's part of football. It's competitive sports. These guys compete. I mean, I've seen them pushing and shoving, you know, calling people out on the sidelines under Saban, and nobody had a problem with it. Nobody had a problem with it. And it happened on many occasions on live TV in front of a lot of people. So,
I mean,
you know,
that's true.
You know, I hear your point too about kind of calling him out on the field, but you know, let's just get behind this guy. He's our kicker, and he's what we have right now. and we need to support him and encourage him to get better. Does he know that he missing kicks is not good? Sure. Does he know the mistakes he made? Absolutely he knows. No one needs to remind the guy. There's nobody that feels worse about it than he does. So all you prima donna fans out there that are whining and complaining about a couple missed kicks, get over yourself and support the cat. Or find you another team to root for. Because personally, I don't want to have a part of anybody that's going to act that way towards my team.
Dang. Jared chose violence this morning.
This may not make some people happy. And if it's not pleasing to some of you guys, it's just not pleasing to you. But that's just the way I feel. He's my kicker. He's on my team, and I support the guy. And everybody else that calls himself an Alabama fan needs to stand up and support him, too. It's not right.
Yeah. No, you're right. Definitely need to support the guy because, like we said, man, we're going to need him one way or another, man. Whether you hate him, love him, whatever the case would be, he is our kicker. So,
go try out for the team and see if you can make it. Go try and kick an oddly shaped football through an upright from 30 to 40 yards. You can't do it. It's like playing golf.
Definitely not easy.
It's like playing golf. The ball's sitting still and you still can't hit it. Go try and kick a football. See if it's any easier, because it ain't.
No, it's definitely not. Look, I have a background with soccer, and even I can say, I mean, kicking field goals is a different animal, man. It's not easy, man. And to be fair, confidence is one of the biggest battles when it comes to kicking, right? So, I mean, beating them down more is not going to help. And that's why I said, I mean, look, I know I put out the tweet that was saying, if he had a bad attitude with the response, it wasn't about him missing the kick. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, nobody's perfect. But after rewatching, I'm like, maybe his attitude wasn't what I initially thought. And that's why I wanted to make sure I was clear on my comment.
Sure.
Right?
You know, I'll tell you a story one time.
I'm like, I'm encouraging anybody.
Yeah, for sure. Me and my dad, I'll tell you a story. Me and my dad were eating dinner one night with my dad's bookie, the guy he bets football with. And he asked me, he says, hey, man, he says, I bet you like booking basketball and baseball, don't you? Because it's a long season. He says, no, I really don't like it. He says, how come? He says, I don't like the shape of the ball. He says, what sport do you like the best? He says, I love football. He says, because the shape of the ball, when it hits the ground or comes off someone's foot, you don't know which way it's going.
Yeah. That's a good point. No, it definitely is a lot different.
It ain't easy to kick a football. All you guys that think you know about it, go try to kick one.
Hey, you always can with the Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge, goodfeetkickforcash.com.
Thanks
for that segue, Jared. That was perfect, man. Listen, if you guys want a challenge, right, and see if you actually can make a field goal, you start from 10. That's easy. That's easier than chip shot. 20 goes back. You get a chance to win some money. GoodFeetKickForCash.com is where you can sign up. Now, technically, we're at a home game, so it might be done for this year, but hopefully they bring it back next year. And shout out to the Good Feet Store, our presenting sponsor. If you're in any type of need for those arch supports, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, they take care of it right there at the Good Feet Store, Midtown Village, plus GoodFeet.com for more information, the nearest location to you. That's the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Jared, we appreciate that sermon, brother. Thank you so much.
You got it, brother. See you.
Yes, sir. Take care. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We got Smitty. We'll go to him real quick, and then we'll listen to these press conferences. We want to hear from the coaches. We got Kane Womack. We've got Ryan Grubb.
But hurry. This offer ends November 30th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less for a limited time at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Smitty, what's up, man? Are you with Jared? You going to give us a good sermon? He's preaching, man. He's preaching first.
not going to preach, but at least the sun's out in Phoenix now, so we're getting back to normal. But the thing is, right, with Tonti, now I will crack my jokes about him, like my CDO jokes. I'll crack a joke, but that's sports, you know. Everybody gonna crack a joke, but I'm not gonna sit there and be a total jerk to the guy. But there's a reason that the board did go in the portal last year, and you don't know how a kicker does until he gets on campus. Because we've seen plenty of NFL guys mess up the joint kicking, but they go to a new team and they're good again. You know, it's just crazy how it is. But my issue with him yelling at the long snapper is that, brother, you stink at your job. You have no right to yell at me when you stink at your job. You know, it's kind of like the guy who always late to work, always complaining about somebody being late. If it was real Riker, you could yell at whoever you want, you know.
Right.
And I think
to Jared's point, I mean, look, I get what he's saying and what Ricky was trying to say about, like, we all used to yell at each other. But to me, maybe I read into it wrong as well, but it just felt different because, again, like when we, like, for example, like when we got in that fight against Southern Cal, right? It was Deontay Thompson and Ronnie Harrison, who, again, them dudes are like tight. They're boys. But they got into it. Then Ruben was trying to break it up and he got mad because they weren't listening to him. But again, it's like when we're very competitive, like that's like us as a defense. And the more I talk about it, I'm like, nah, maybe it is a little hypocritical on my behalf. But it's like if we had a guy that had a bust and it led to a big play, like we were holding people accountable because we knew like we can't have that, right? Like one guy not doing his job can give up big plays. And it's like, the way Talty did with the long snapper just felt different because to me that would have been like he also played a role, and I know it's the snap can cause a kicker to be off, but to me I didn't think it was that bad of it. It was a bad snap, but it wasn't to the point where like he had no part in it. So it almost was like he's like, all right, I'm just going to completely put this on this guy, versus like when we would get into it holding somebody accountable, it would be like, all right, everybody else did their job, but that one guy messed up, and so he needs to be held accountable. To me, it's just kind of like Talty kind of threw him under the bus completely when they both shared blame. Versus like when we used to get into it, it wasn't like you got two guys that messed up and one of the guys is jumping the other guy. To me, it's a little bit different. But to be fair, you know, he's right. I mean, competitive spirit in sports is normal. I just felt, I don't know, it just felt a little bit different. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I'm being a hypocrite. I apologize if I am, but it just felt a little bit
different. You're right, because if you stink and you ain't produced, you shouldn't be yelling at anybody. That's how I look at it. And I'm sorry if people get offended by that, but I still won't call the man out his name, go crazy like that. And I appreciate the player standing up for him. But the thing is, you know, you can't take some things away from a game like this. I don't care. You're playing against air. 34 yards is 34 yards. and that includes all the second and third stringers getting in as well. So I give those guys credit. And I do believe this defense is the most improved unit probably in the country from where they started out this year and part of last year. But I am kind of worried about Ty. I will be honest. It's not even about turnovers, because he looks shaky against this team. And I've always been kind of worried that even last year he played Mercy, he was a little skittish in the pocket. And I do think that the young man has to speed up his clock, because he didn't have a strip fumble today. But those things will cost you a game. They can cost you your season a strip fumble, because sometimes you got to get rid of it. But there were times when he was inaccurate. Even though you know this, completion percentage can be the most overrated stat in football. You know, because a guy can catch. It's like that one pass in Bakwe he caught on the sideline, but if he would throw it on. No, I don't have all 22. Just look it on my TV. If he threw it on time and accurate, he might have scored. And I just think that against that team, get away with it. But I just think I know the receivers have dropped passes. Ryan dropped one again. That could cost you a game as well, because you don't get so many opportunities. But I think with Ty, it's not even about the deep ball with me. It's about the 10, 15-yard pass that he got to hit. Maybe he's a little too sped up. I don't know. But, and we got burnt on that against Oklahoma. He missed his LSU and South Carolina. Maybe it's on – I don't know if someone's putting pressure on him, rattles him when they blitz him. I don't know. You can speak on that better than I could. But I just think that, hey, teams are going to press you in the NFL like that. You got to pull through on that stuff. I don't know. I'm just a fan just seeing stuff.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I think pressure definitely plays a role. But at the same time, one thing I do know about Ty is that He's his own biggest critic, right? And I've talked about this when I used to tell people, even like last year, when they used to be like, oh, well, why didn't he play? And I've said this, right? And now you guys have probably seen a little bit. When he does kind of make mistakes, sometimes, you know, it kind of can not linger, but you get what I'm saying? I feel like that's kind of maybe what we're seeing. Right. I almost feel like part of what we're seeing right now is because, you know, he's kind of gotten a little bit of a slump, or he had a slump a few weeks ago, and maybe we're feeling like the lasting effects. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe, or he is. He's kind of still in his head about some of that stuff. Look, he was in a rhythm. He had great timing for the first half of the season outside of week one. He just got to find it again. And I know, and I talked about this last week, it's not always easy when you don't have that running game, when you have a lot of pressure on you. But I think he still just has to always remember, man, just take what the defense gives you. You know, we don't need him to be Superman. I mean, the way we, you know, this offense works, you know, they've never really, how do I say this? Like, they run the football, but it's not like it's like the biggest component, if that makes sense. You need to run the ball just enough. But what I'm saying is they have a lot of things built in this offense to where, just like we saw earlier in the year, we don't have to rely on the home run shots, or you have to run it, you know, for 150 to have success. There's a lot of things that they do, like the extensions of the running game, you know, screen game, those concepts that they have built in where he just has to take what the defense gives him. And there's going to be a lot of attention on other things, whether it's, you know, Bernard or, you know, Quavis now is getting some probably going to get some more attention, where he just has to just, even if it's just checkdowns, right? Just take those checkdowns, right? You don't have to force things. Like I felt like he kind of was doing even in this game at times, or just kind of just being a little patient and not seeing things as quickly as he was before. And I think he'll get, you know, listen, I think he can get back to it. He just has to build that confidence up with himself, and hopefully we see that soon. But the problem is, you know, you're already expecting that to already probably take a little bit of a hit, knowing you're on the road against your rival. So it's going to be an interesting game this weekend for sure.
And I'll say this, one, Shane Beamer, I gotta get my talk to Dick. Shane Beamer should be fired because he didn't let that boy kick that ball. so sorry, I'm just being
I know Ricky was talking about. Listen, Ricky tweeted this too. Let me just say this: do I think that's a bad coaching decision on Shane Beamer? Listen, hindsight is 20/20. Now, will I give y'all's credit that we're saying that he should just let him kick it? Yeah, sure. I mean, listen, I even agree. Like at this point, yeah, he definitely should have just let Connor just.
But I'm glad he scored.
Right, but I'll say this: so I'm never going to call a coaching decision dumb, because I also understand in most cases, you know what I'm saying? If we're just being honest here, you either get a chance to just wind down the clock and let them kick a chip shot, or hey, let them score and give us 30, 40 seconds just to try to come up with a miracle. That's not a dumb decision. But yes, hindsight being 20/20, y'all are right. He should have just let us kick the field goal.
And I'll say this before I run. I'm glad that Jam got to have a good game for his final home game, at least, because I've been on him. But I'm glad he got to go out having a good game, regardless of the opponent, you know. But also, the one thing I want to bring up, everybody keep talking about, oh, man, I go to Auburn. Then we win that game. What if we lose to A&M? How about what if we win, people? You know? I'm like, why? It's like, if we lose, we lose. Can we not be scared, you know, because Auburn, I'm sorry, they have a great defense. But this the best defense that Ashton Daniels played against since he took over as a starter. A&M, let's be real, as anyone seen their schedule, they haven't been the most battle-tested team. And they did kind of wet the bed the first half against South Carolina, and South Carolina just blew it. So, We just got to be confident. Say, hey, we could beat anybody when we play a good game. But the reason I'm not as worried is because our defense has improved so much. And defense travels, and that defense will keep you in the game. And I think that's the thing that we should look at. If it was early in the season, hey, I'd be right with you. You got the Florida State, but those guys improved so much, and you see how hungry they are and fast, and how they playing fast. And maybe it's just something simple, stop mugging on first down. You know, but it's like those guys are so aggressive now. And And I have to give them their credit, Kane Womack credit. And that's the reason I'm confident that these guys can win these next two games. But hey, you have a good one, Christian.
Absolutely, man. Good stuff, Smitty. Appreciate you, brother. Take care. Good deal. He's right, man. Defense travels. We say it all the time. And listen, I just want to be clear. Like, when I talk about anything's like, you know, going on the road, it's not coming from a place of, oh, we're worried or whatever. It's just a fact, man. Those are challenges, right? And when your offense is already kind of a little bit in a slump, I would probably say it is, I guess, maybe, or been a little sluggish. That's just something to consider, right? I think it's a key to pay attention to. But he's right, man. Just a little early preview looking at the Auburn game. I think it is going to come down. Our defense is going to have to step up, make some plays, and help us out offensively, because if we haven't been playing great, I don't just expect us to play perfect while we're on the road in that hostile environment. So defense, man, definitely going to need some more turnovers. You see what happens when you don't get them. But he's right, man. Defense has been playing some really good football, and they need to travel to Jordan-Hare this Saturday for the Iron Bowl. Night game, man. It's going to be good. We got to hit a timeout when we come back. We'll try to get those press conferences potted up. We'll get some early previews from the coaches when we come back right on the Miller's Edge, Tide on the Point 9, 1230. WTVC.
Of the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are Friday's swag bag giveaway only on Black Friday, only at Target.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Must be 13 or older. For full details, including odds, see official rules at target.com/events.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us. Finance equipment 128 gigabyte, $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon, partly to mostly sunny, the high 73. Clouds increasing tonight, the low 59. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional rain and a few thunderstorms, the high at 72. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
From the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We're now moving ahead and getting a little preview for the Iron Bowl. So we got head coach Kalen DeBoer, who spoke to the media today. This was him when he took the podium.
Morning. We heard from the coordinators, and just to can kind of recap, I think, everything that they probably hit on or you asked, just to get a good weekend. One last shout out to our seniors, you know, being able to honor them, recognize them. They mean a lot to this program. They mean a lot to me. And, you know, for them to be able to do their job, to be able to get a lot of other guys on the football field was something we got a chance to highlight even in the locker room, and guys had fun with afterwards, talking about, you know, some of the plays that were made by guys that haven't seen the field yet or, you know, very minimal time, minimal opportunity. So, good to see Quay Roussel get on the football field a little bit. That was, you know, something that we've been working towards, and really, really happy for him, happy for us there. So on to the Iron Bowl, and know what that means to the state here. Huge deal for us as well. Just, you know, it's a big game. It's, you know, for a lot of reasons, but, you know, we just focus on what it is, and it's our big rivalry game. It's an SEC game on the road. It'd be an awesome environment. Just blessed to be a part of it, you know, especially here on this Thanksgiving week. That's what you think about. There's so much we have, and these guys getting this opportunity to go and to play in a special place like that, and in front of so many fans and people watching on TV. Just a really cool moment. Got to seize it and take advantage of it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Let's start with Nick. All right.
Yeah, people love to talk about the difficulties of going to Jordan-Hare and playing in what some might say is haunted. What is kind of your message to the players about the discourse around going to Auburn and playing there?
Yeah, rivalry game, amazing environment. We've played in amazing environments, throughout the year on the road at night. I get it. You never want to, we understand it's going to be a great experience there. And it'll be, one where we're facing a team that, wants to knock us off our goals and our hopes and all of that. So, but you just really got to simplify it down and you got to prepare, prepare for the noise, prepare for the emotions that come. And that's what our season's done for us. We've been through a lot of that. And again, there'll be new challenges that present themselves in the game. A lot of it will be, again, new matchup, guys that have different people in front of them, strengths and weaknesses of the opponent. Every single week change. And so we're just going to prepare our best, focus on what we do, because that's what we've done all season long, to go out there and be our best on Saturday.
Move to Chase, far left.
Auburn's got one of the better defensive fronts in the league. What do you see from those guys athletically and the challenge they present for the OL? Yeah, yes, they do. They got a great combination of size, athleticism up front. They understand their defensive scheme well. They attack. There's a lot of trust, then you get to the linebackers and, they can run really well. They attack as well. And so it's a team defense. Coach Durkin's done a great job, not just leading the team now, but, over the past couple of years, putting together a defensive scheme, and a mindset that they have. So a lot of respect to what they do, that's for sure.
Let's go to Charlie on the far right.
Kind of a two-parter. Do you have an update on Josh Cuevas? And with him being out, how good was it to get a bunch of tight ends opportunities on Saturday?
Yeah, with Josh, we'll just keep evaluating him here throughout this week. And that was certainly intentional with getting some guys some action out there. Even some of the way just, I think, Coach Grubb called the game. Just making sure that we got some reps, whether it be run game, pass game. There was... you got to attack the defense you're seeing, but I thought we did a good job of getting those guys in spots, testing them, and a lot of it's been building up over the course of the year too, right? You see Caleb out there all season long, so it's a combination of guys that you're really focused on as much as anything. Marshall did a nice job. Brody did a nice job. Jake did a nice job as well.
Hold on one second. Let's hit a quick timeout. We come back. We'll finish the rest of the video. We'll let it load up to speed. Sorry, I'm having some tech difficulties. But when we come back, we'll play the second clip of it and wrap things up on this Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Quick timeout. We resume our press conference with head coach Kalen DeBoer.
Inside Irvin's in Northport. One day only, and it's going to be fabulous.
Tell them Van the Boot Man sent you.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa. Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
Oh, my God!
With 95.3 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon, partly to mostly sunny, the high 73. Clouds increasing tonight, the low 59. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional rain and a few thunderstorms, the high at 72. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. All right, let's see if we can finish up this interview without any tech difficulties. We've got 4 minutes left. We're halfway through it, so let's see how this goes.
That's what you're really focused on as much as anything. I thought Marshall did a nice job. Brody did a nice job. Jake did a nice job as well in their roles and just getting them more snaps. We get better with reps. It doesn't matter who we are, and that's what we're trying to do for those guys.
Jump to KD, second row on the left.
I know it's a relatively small sample size, but has there been a difference that you've seen on film in Auburn since DJ Durbin took over?
I think probably offensively, maybe just, you see maybe a little bit of philosophical change, just a little bit there with the offense and what they're trying to do. So maybe that as much as anything. So obviously they seem to be playing free and, putting up a lot of points, in the last 2 weeks.
Go to Colin from that.
Kind of back to Charlie's question, but what have you seen from Caleb Edwards, and then especially he's, one of a handful of freshmen that are going to get, expected to take pretty significant snaps in a big game. What's kind of your advice to whether it's Caleb, whether it's Deshaun, any guys that are kind of experienced in this rivalry for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, there's been. They're getting so many snaps that these guys played. I mean, from Dijon's, Dijon, Latsir. I mean, we can go down the road with Michael Carroll, and I think that's what you're getting to here. The question is, we've done that all year long, and, Caleb. I mean, I can think of the big catch in the moment for me. He caught a crossing route against Georgia in a tight window there, and number one, Ty's trusted him, and then, Caleb going across really fearless. Caleb was a guy that didn't come to us till really this summer. Most of our guys are really enrolled. And so seeing him be able to get on the field early in the year and do what he's doing, again.
All right. Quick commercial real quick.
Most people are too lazy to do this.
And but it saves we are back.
Every rep matters to him because these guys that have been here all year going back to January, they understood our culture. They were part of our weight program, I'm just really proud of these guys, and not just now, but sheds light on what we feel about the future is going to be. Whether it's your quarterbacks, they got a chance to get out of the football field, do their thing. Our offensive linemen, Jackson Boyd got out there, the other day as well. And so, just really excited about the future. But obviously, we're in the moment, we're in the present, and those guys are going to be ready to play. They've made a ton of plays all season long, and we're confident we'll put them out there for more.
Got a question from Joe in the middle of the room.
Coach, what did you see from the running game this past Saturday, particularly with freshman with AK Deer, and what does he maybe need to do to maybe see an increased role throughout the rest of the year and off the wall? What's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Yeah, I'm pretty traditional when it comes to the Thanksgiving piece going way back. So your normal stuff, Thanksgiving, when you think of it, that's what I'm all about. But I think you mentioned AK, you know, just when he gets out there, you can see the things he can do explosive wise, ball in his hands, and again, more reps. And I thought Saturday was a great opportunity for him, and so I thought he took advantage of it. Another freshman that has a great future for us in our program.
All right, let's finish up with Matthew.
Coach, after the game on Saturday, I know you told us that players have had Connor Talty's back after the last couple of misses. How have you seen them react over the course of the last few weeks when he's missed a goal?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was probably just everyone in general. You're always, you're human, right? And so people are going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And then, it's the response and the things that he did. He made it right with his teammates. He talked to them, and that's what we can do. We move on, and we right the wrongs, and now we just focus on what we can do, and that's go be your best. And that's what he does in practice. And again, when I say our guys got his back, I've seen players, myself have reaction to things that you don't like on the field, off the field, whatever it might be, things we want back. And once it's done, all you can do is make sure you communicate, talk to the people that it affected, and continue to move on. And so he had a great week of practice last week. He still really hit the ball well. Just gonna keep working, and we're gonna need him throughout the rest of the year, and I know he's gonna give everything. He cares about this team a lot.
So there you have it. That was head coach Kalen DeBoer speaking to the media today for his weekly press conference. That'll do it for us. We got to get out of here. You got Wyatt coming up next. But tomorrow we'll keep on rolling with our Iron Bowl preview week. We'll dive into that matchup a lot more in depth and look to get some guests here on the show as well. Remember, we will be off on Thursday, but we'll be rolling back on Friday as well. But again, tomorrow, Wednesday, everything all the same. It's Thursday. We'll be off. So we'll look forward to see you guys tomorrow for Talking Tuesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We'll be right back.